Now, there was a purpose apart from just a bit of fun. I rather think life at times is a bit like a game of snakes and ladders. I don't know how you feel about it, but what about some of the things, this is for adults and children, because it's a family service, all age service, not just kids. What about some of the things in life that we think of as being the ladders, the things that we talk about having the ladder of success, don't we? That's quite a common expression in our life. What are some of the things that could be going up a ladder in our lives, do you think?
Promotion.
Promotion at work. Yeah. What else? Nothing else? Must be other things that you think are ladders in life at times.
Marriage.
Yeah. Changing our status of relationship. Age. As you get older, you go up. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Some might see that as a snake going down. You know, as a negative thing, getting older. And
depends if you're 18, 20, what are the doubles of those?
Well, that's right. If you've got past 50, they tell me you're definitely decaying. You know, you're definitely sort of past it by that stage. What about some of the things that we might see as the things that maybe bring us down a bit? Health issues, yes. A number of us have got those. What else? Being jobless, losing our jobs, redundancy, that sort of thing. So in life, there are things that we see as taking us forward in life, getting a better job, more money, nicer car, nicer home, doing better at school, passing exams, going to university. And there are things that we maybe see as the negatives in life, the things, the health and the difficult issues. Well, God has a rather different view of things than the view that we so often have. Because he actually tells us that in fact, we should actually, looking here first, we should rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Now, when we look at life, and I know a number of us have probably been through health issues, we've been through redundancy maybe recently, the credit crunch, as it's been called by so many, has caused problems in a number of people's lives. It's easy to think of those things as always being negative and always being things that we shouldn't have in our lives. But sometimes, there's a bit of a theology here as to whether God allows these things or sends them or how it happens, but when they come, we're not going to dwell on that today. When it comes, God says that we should be able to rejoice in suffering because suffering causes or brings about perseverance. And perseverance brings character. That word character means testedness. It's like when you go to IKEA, you might have seen there's a machine there that tests a chair as if you've sat on it for thousands of times. Have you seen that machine? That plonks down on the chair as if, you know, me plonking down after a hard day. That testedness, that plonking down constantly is what God says is character. It's whether we stand up when things get tough. If we do, then that brings hope into our lives. Now, we misuse that word hope a lot because we say things like, I hope it's going to be a nice day tomorrow. I hope my football team's going to win. I hope this is going to happen. And we use the word very loosely. So I looked in the dictionary and I thought, well, what does hope really mean? And the dictionary defines it as a pleasurable and confident expectation of something that we don't yet have. So when you say, I hope it's going to be a nice day tomorrow, do you really mean I confidently expect it to be a good day tomorrow? When you say to somebody, I hope you'll feel better soon, do we mean I'll confidently expect you to be better soon? Because that's really what we're saying when the Bible talks about hope. It's a confident expectation of what's to come. And that ties in with faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't yet see, we're told in Hebrews. And so just to finish this little section, I'm going to leave you with a thought. If we don't have hope, can we actually have faith? Because the Bible says without faith we cannot please God. And we talk a lot about faith in the Christian life. We don't talk so much about hope. But this morning I want to focus on hope and think, do we actually have that confident expectation, which is really the basis of our faith, for us to move forward? Because if we don't, then I think we miss out on a lot of the joy that the Christian life has to offer. So I want you to think about that. If we do not have hope, can we actually have faith? Okay, we're now going to do a little experiment. Now, as you, most of you will know, I used to be a science teacher, and this is, if you want the proper name, this is a very simple Young's modulus experiment. We won't go too much into the science of it, but we're going to basically test the strength of this elastic band, which hopefully you can see. I'm sorry if the angle's not very good from that way, but... So I need some children who haven't been out yet, probably not the very youngest for this, but those who can reach up to here, sort of maybe six or more, something like seven or more, something like that. You come out then. I have a couple more that are a little bit older, haven't been out already anymore. Come on then, yet. Couple more? No? Okay. Yeah, you can come out as well. Okay, now before we start, you all right? Before we start, we need you to guess how many tins. I've got some tins here. And being science, I don't know the answer either. This may or may not do what I want it to do. Science is like that. How many tins do you think I can put in this, or the children can put in this basket that's here before this elastic band breaks? That is my question. So have a little think, and we'll have a vote in a moment. Yeah, the tins are full. They're from my cupboard. They are full tins. How many, quick vote here, how many think less than three? How many think less than three? Don't pull on the chair down, don't lean on it, because it might all go flying and then we won't have the right experiment then. Less than three, right. One says less than three. Between three and six? Oh, the majority. And more than six? Yeah, more than six it would be, wouldn't it? A few. Okay, well, remember your vote. And we'll see what happens. Now, if you can put these in carefully, all right? Hopefully, mind you, don't put your toes underneath, just in case. Right, put it in the middle, that's it. Okay, so that's one. Oh, we don't need it. Need to make sure it's not leaning on there. Right, one's all right. Okay. Two we've managed, okay. You do the next one. I did bring a cloth to go underneath, but I forgot to spread it out. Hopefully they won't burst. That's it. Put it towards the middle. Three. Okay. So those under three have lost. Four. Oh, four. Very good. Very good. Very good. We'll try one more. So that was four.
Try the bigger one.
Try the really thick one. All right. We'll be daring then. I bought different ones. I thought someone would say try the thick one. Okay. You can rethink your vote now. I'll trust you to remember. Okay, hang on, let me just untwist it. Wait a minute, let me just... Okay, I don't think it'll make any difference what's in the tin. Apples will be just as good. Right, one, put it in the middle, that's it. Okay, one, two. Okay, let her do the next one. Three. Right, okay, we've gone past three. Gone past four now. Five. Six. I'll put it down there for you. Can't really reach, can you? Six. Be a bit careful when this goes. Mind your eyes. In science, they should have goggles. Sorry about health and safety. Seven. Eight. Go on, there's room for one there. Nine. Whose turn is it? But have to put it on top. Go and put it right down on top. 10.
There's no more.
Oh dear. We might have to have. I don't think that'll make much difference. You can try. It's very light that. No. I think we might have to have someone's Bible. Anyone prepared to lend their Bible? Oh, very good. I don't want to ruin your Bible though. I'll put that in very carefully. No, it's not going to go. I think.
Put that one on it, it will go.
Put the beans on and.
No, it's not going. There you go. It's very good elastic band. I think we'll leave it at that because I don't want anyone's toes to get underneath all those tins. Well, you'll even leave them in there, darling. That's all right. Whoops.
Whoa.
Thank you very much. I'd like to give the Bible back to that gentleman. Thank you. Now, again, we do have a purpose in this. When we were building that up gradually, if we were doing this as a proper experiment, we'd have taken measurements of how much longer the elastic band got. And if we had plotted them on a graph, these would be the number of tins going along and the stretch of the elastic band going up. Gradually, the band would get longer, as we know. But if you've ever used an elastic band and you've pulled it around a bit or you've used it a few times, gradually it actually doesn't go back to its original size, does it? Gradually it becomes deformed. That point in science is called the elastic limit, right? When you go past that point, the elastic band doesn't go quite back to where it started. It gets a bit longer. Quite a lot of energy in this, isn't there? And when we get to a bit further on again, it starts to stretch a lot more. If I'd left those weights on there, it would probably now be stretching. By the end of the service, it would probably be on the floor because it will stretch even with the same weight. And then eventually, as we know, it will break. Now, that again is a bit of a spiritual picture because God promises us that he at times will stretch us. We've already said that at times God doesn't let us have the sort of cushy life that we might like. And he stretches us in different ways. Sometimes with things that aren't very easy for us at that point to cope with. But I want to encourage you this morning, those who are feeling, I think certainly I am at times, and I'm sure you are too. This morning, I know somebody at least is. When you're feeling under pressure, and you're feeling like that elastic band that you're being pulled, and you don't quite know why and what's going on, I want to encourage you this morning that God knows what's going on and that he promises that whilst at times he does stretch us and at times he takes us out of our comfort zones, because we'd all like to be in that comfort zone at the beginning. We'd all like to stay as we are, really, because that's how we're comfortable. But God stretches us so that we're never quite the same again. But the great and encouraging thing is that he never stretches us to a point when we break. He never stretches us until we're permanently deformed. He always stretches us in this region here where he's changing us, but we're not actually broken. We're not actually destroyed. And again, the Bible tells us that. It's not just me making this up. It says we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed at times. We don't know which way to turn at times. But we're not without hope. We're not hopeless. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. God will not test you beyond your ability to bear it. That's a paraphrase of some verses that are there. This should encourage us that whatever we're going through, God says that he will never leave us without hope. He will never stretch us more than we can manage, more than we can cope with. And that, I think, should be a real encouragement to us, whatever's happening in our lives, when we get to the point of that elastic band, when we get to the point when we can't cope, then God has promised he won't take us beyond that point. He's never the extra tin. He's never that little bit more than we can cope with. I just wanted to find my first acetate again that's here somewhere. Just going back to this for a moment. Because at the very end, it says, at the very end, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Hope, we've said, that confident expectation of good things. Faith, believing that confident expectation, even if we can't see it. And love, well, you could say many millions of sermons about love. But I think one of the main dangers that stops us having hope and faith is fear. And I was doing a Bible study last week. I've started doing the Scripture Union online one. They send me an email every morning, and I found it really helpful, actually. And one of the little phrases from there, they were talking about fear, and they were talking about love. And they said, if you imagine a nightclub with a bouncer on the door, if you imagine that, and fear comes along to that door, some sort of, you know, bother boy who's going to cause trouble, and they try and get in, they try and cause trouble, or maybe they've got in and they try and start causing trouble. Love is the bouncer that throws out fear. Now, I found that really helpful, because at times fear does get in, if we're honest. At times, certainly, fear attacks us, and if it doesn't, then we're very unusual, because the Bible says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion. Well, if you've got a roaring lion sitting by you, you're probably going to be afraid. But the point is that when fear comes, love is there to throw it out.
Amen.
And that is what faith, hope, and love are about. Hope, believing and expecting the good things, but when the fears come, love is always there to throw out the fear that stops us having the hope and the faith. We rejoice in the hope of glory, which is Christ in us. A very encouraging verse, but sometimes, I think if we're really honest, it feels to us as if our life is rather empty, a bit like this jar of water, as if there's not an awful lot going on, not an awful lot that's very exciting in life. But I want to encourage you again that that's not really the case, because if we say we have Christ in us, then we have all the resources that we need. We have all the gifts that we need. We have everything that we need. The trouble is that at times we need a bit of shaking up. And that's what God does, because when we're shaken up, then all those riches that are in us, you can see that glittering away there, I hope, a bit. Not on the overhead, but all those riches that are within us are there, but just so much of the time, they just lay sort of hidden at the bottom. We don't really see all the good things that God has for us. You see it glittering there in the light. But those things are there all the time for us. We just need to be prepared to be stirred up. So when you're thinking that your life is getting a little bit boring, that things are maybe not going as they might be, then remember that you need to fan into flame, or stir up, some verses say, the gifts that are within you. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. All those things are in us, but so often they just settle to the bottom. So often they just get ignored, and we just live in about, you know, 9/10 or more of our life that just is a bit humdrum, a bit ordinary. But God is saying that my gifts and my spirit and my power is there in your life all the time. You just need to stir it up. You need to use it. I don't think IGC has changed so much since I've been down here that all the gifts are being used, that all the positions have been filled, all the volunteers have been found, all the things have changed. Can you do something? Can you use a gift that you've not used before? Can you actually stir up something that's within you to bless the church and the fellowship? Maybe you can. Because if we don't stir it up, then that hope just lies at the bottom of our lives, doesn't have the day-to-day effect that it should do. Think about that. So let's just be encouraged that whatever happens in life, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And particularly this morning, I want to encourage you to hold on to hope. Because it's hope that sees us through to the very end. In Hebrews, that great long list of saints and people who've gone before us, in many cases it says they did not see in this life what they hoped for. They did not get the full fulfillment of all the promises, but they kept on hoping. They kept on going. They finished strong. And that's what's really important in our lives, is that that hope stays with us, and it has to stay with us to the very end. Hope that gives up partway is not really hope at all. And so if at the moment you're feeling perplexed, you're feeling as if life is throwing everything at you, be encouraged to hold on to hope, because by doing that, you hold on to faith. And remember that love is always that bouncer that's there. So when fear comes, don't feel bad about it. Having the fears is not a bad thing in one sense. It's what we do with it that can make it good or bad. If we allow the fear to come in and crush us, if we allow it to take over, that's when it causes a problem. If we say to fear, no, love is going to throw you out. You've got no place here. Then we actually have victory over the fear, and we can live in hope and faith. So that's my thought for you this morning. I hope you'll be encouraged to take that with you. Please do ask for prayer at the end from the ministry team here. If you have hopes hopes you want to be prayed into and fears that you want to get rid of, do come for prayer. Don't just leave it and go home with the same things. Be different. And remember, when things get tough, maybe it's God just stirring up some of what's within you so that you can actually show something more of his glory. So be encouraged. Thank you.